it's unnatural how we break out people into different age groups. So it's easy, it's joyful, it's just normal.
A weekend performance for young and old plays out the magic of aging. And bridge closure and fishing announcements. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. Those stories and more up next. Starting in early May, when you have a fish on, don't forget to leave the fish head on. Every year, the Alaska Department of Fish and Game conducts creel surveys in Skagway and Haines, where they interview sport anglers and conduct dockside sampling. Sport fishermen in boats need to bring their catches of lingcod, non-pelagic rockfish, and king and coho salmon into port before filleting, mutilating, or deheading them. In Haines, the creel survey runs May 9th through June 26th. In Skagway, it's May 31st through September 5th. Biologists are collecting length and sex information for lingcod, weight information for non-pelagic rockfish, and identification of tagged kings and cohos, which can only be obtained when fish are intact. The sampling continues during the fishing season to estimate sport fishing effort and harvest, and contribution of hatchery and wild stocks of Chinook and silvers to regional sport fisheries. Even though the fish heads must be on when boats return to port during the survey period, anglers can still gut and gill their catches before coming in. The Taya River Bridge in Skagway is periodically closed Tuesday and Wednesday next week for DOT inspections. Department of Transportation and Public Facilities will be inspecting the bridge between 9 a.m. and 7 p.m. May 3rd and 4th, with closures for periods up to an hour due to inspectors and equipment on the bridge. Officials urge drivers to use caution and patience when traveling on the Taya River Bridge on the Skagway-Dyea Road. The bridge was marked with a lowered load limit in February, not long after DOT had delayed improvements on the Dyea Road crossing. They said at the time that the lowered limit is due to the deteriorating condition of the bridge, which caught the attention of state inspectors years earlier. According to estimates, the necessary repairs to the 63-year-old bridge could run the state $1 to $2.5 million. Next time you pass by 4th and Broadway in Skagway, look over to that unnoticeable grassy spot on the ground. Then envision what it'll look like when the kids get done with it.
So from the boardwalk, we'll have two pathways that come in kind of like a V towards the center. And then the center of the garden will be round, raised cedar beds.
Amanda McCutcheon is with the Klondike Gold Rush National Historical Park in Skagway. Kids with an after-school program sponsored by the park and the Skagway Rec Center are moving forward on the first bloom native plant garden going in at 4th and Broadway. They've completed a design and are beginning work on the piece of land to bring the vision to life.
Round raised cedar beds that the park actually soaked and treated the cedar so that it could be bent and did that themselves to build the beds, which is really cool because the kids designed the round beds and we didn't want to say no to them, so we figured out how to make it happen. So we have two pathways leading into a center that has three round flower beds, raised beds that will make a circle. And in those, the two larger round ones will have plants representing Dyea. Many visitors, when they come to Alaska or come to Skagway, Alaska, don't get the opportunity to go out to Dyea. So the kids wanted to bring Dyea to them.
For the past 6 months, the Park Service and the Rec Center have been preparing plants with kids during the after-school program. It'll continue through the center's summer camp.
The school has also become a partner. They have purchased and began to get some growing equipment and lights in a greenhouse. And so for Earth Day, we were able to go plant lupins and yarrow seeds that were collected by the after-school program, and we were able to plant them as starters for the garden in the school for Earth Day. So it's kind of a joint community effort.
The garden will also eventually have a 16 by 2.5-foot box with Alaska wildflowers in it. The 12 or so kids also wanted a display on poisonous plants of Alaska, which will fill one of the small boxes on the block corner.
So that'll be an opportunity for the kids to teach other kids when they're coming here about our poisonous plants and about Alaska's native plants and our resources here.
Groundbreaking is going on this week with events open to community volunteers. In addition to ongoing work at the site, a work party is preparing the garden site this Saturday, April 30th. There'll be two more in May, all with lunch provided from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Volunteers are invited to stop by and work as long as they want to help on the project.
that is going to be a big community work day from 9 to 4, and volunteers, we're welcoming anyone that wants to come by. There'll be a free lunch that day, and that day our main goal is to be removing the rest of the sod, placing the raised beds that have been built, as well as lining the stone walkways and putting gravel in it and kind of making the infrastructure of the garden. And then we'll continue through May with two other work days of May 14th and May 22nd. But the big day is at April 30th from 9 a.m. to 4. Free lunch, volunteer, community work day. It's going to be a good time.
A map of the garden is online. You can find it and even vote on it in a nationwide contest if you search First Bloom in your web browser. Skagway's design is under the word Klondike. Lots of live music on its way to Skagway and Haines right now. The Skagway International Folk Festival is Friday. Now in its 25th year, the Music Fest features local artists and traveling ones at the First Presbyterian Church in Skagway. It's at 7 p.m. on Friday, April 29th, with a suggested donation of $10. Barb Kalin will be one of the local performers there. She started the festival a quarter century ago in an effort to bring home some of the talent that attends Juno's Folk Festival in the week prior. On their way to Haines are 60, yes, 60, symphony musicians from Juno. They'll be playing at the school this weekend, strings, woodwinds, brass, percussion, and all. But wait, you're imagining it all wrong, because the oldest musician in the symphony was born during the Great Depression, and the youngest isn't even old enough for kindergarten.
We're a youth symphony with no upper age limit. You can also look at us as a community orchestra, the second string orchestra to the Juno Symphony.
Rick Trostel conducts the Juno Student Symphony, which started as the Juno Youth Symphony about 10 years ago. Back then, it had only 13 young strings players.
There was a practical reason for including adults, and that is I wanted to be playing with a full orchestra with woodwinds, brass, percussion, as well as strings, and I wanted a larger group to work with.
Trostel says school is the only situation where like ages are together all of the time. The rest of life, we're working with people of all ages. So why force a symphony to be made out of one age group, he asked.
We feed off of each other. It's really fun to watch the orchestra, the adults relating with the children and the children relating with the adults back and forth, up and down. It's natural. It's just a fertile ground for nice and joyful social interaction. It's just the way we were meant to be. I think it's unnatural how we break out people into different age groups. So it's easy. It's joyful. It's just normal. it just feels so normal.
And one of the original pieces they're playing on Saturday captures just that. It's called Life of the Child, and it was just premiered a month ago. It's never even been recorded.
This particular composition follows the life of a child, and therefore the name, The Life of the Child, and the child growing up. And the first section of the piece is the infant child,
which is appropriately played by a 4-year-old violinist.
And in that section, the orchestra feeds the young violinists each phrase, or actually 3 notes at a time. In the next section, the second section, that would be the elementary years, childhood, if you want. And then the third section is adolescence, teenagerhood. And that's, in a way, represented by the orchestra. Probably the largest contingent of the orchestra is in their teenaged years. And it's centered around a 12-bar blues that uses the first two themes. And the fourth section is adulthood. And in the adulthood section, it revisits all three of the previous sections and puts it together in a new way, just like an adult would do. And it's definitely the most difficult section, as adulthood often is, but it's also, when we get it right, it's really wonderful.
So you want to know how it ends? Spoiler alert.
And the end, well, for me, death is a D major chord. So that's the end is death.
Every year, the Juneau Student Symphony chooses one out-of-town location and travels there to play one concert. That's been as far north as Whitehorse, Yukon, and as far south as Wrangell, Alaska. And that one traveling show a year is where local musicians come in.
This year we're coming to Haines, and it's our tradition to invite local musicians to come join us. I always like to say that the best place to hear an orchestra is from within, and none of these communities has an orchestra in it, so we bring a ready-made orchestra for people just to pop in. We'll do one rehearsal when we arrive in town on Saturday afternoon, and from that one rehearsal, we'll put together a performance on Saturday evening.
The group plays the Haines School's small gymnasium at 7 p.m. Saturday, April 30th. Local musicians interested in playing along can call Rick Trostel at 723-3564 or go to junosymphony.org. I'm Tara Bicknell, reporting for KHNS. We're glad you're listening.